We're going to spend a few moments now thinking about the real message of Christmas. And to help get us thinking, we're going to watch a short video. Patient to see what this year's Christmas adverts will be. And John Lewis, for a number of years, has led the way. It is the most anticipated advert. This year's advert tells the story of Elton John. It begins with him sitting at his piano, reflecting on his life and success. The video then works its way back through various performances of his hit song, Your Song, until it's finally revealed that the story all began with a piano that he got for Christmas as a young boy. Now, as usual, the advert has had mixed reactions. For some, they can't believe they've just spent 2 minutes watching an Elton John promo video. Others have been quick to point out that John Lewis doesn't even sell pianos. And still others have wondered what would Elton John have been if he had plasticine for Christmas instead of a piano? Maybe a sculptor, but then again, no. Yet it remains a hit and has been watched on YouTube over 12 million times. And the thing that people seem to have enjoyed most about it is how they've enjoyed it is the profound difference that a gift can make to a person's life. You know, a present is something that you can inspire the person you gave it to. And for many, the advert perfectly depicts the hopes and dreams that parents hold for their children. Let's think for a moment about how the advert actually works. How does it inspire? It's really very simple. The way that the advert is able to inspire and bring hope is because it starts with the end point. It starts with Elton John, the success, the man who made it, and then goes back to show you how he got there. It was the giving of the right gift that led him to where he is now. Now, this approach is quite well documented, not least by the 20th century German philosopher Ernst Bloch. His theory was that the way to inspire people and give them hope is to present them what life could be like, to present a dream, an ideal, and then propose now to take steps that work towards that dream or ideal. Yeah, in the case of the ad, the dream is to be successful. And so choose the right gift for your child this Christmas. Bloch's thinking is very influential today, even if we don't know it by name. And I wonder if you recognize it. For in many ways, the hope that the world has is a future that we imagine it to be. And so we take steps now to bring about that future hope. We imagine a world that is green, and so we try and recycle and use renewable energy. We imagine a world that is healthy, and so we develop medicines and try to eradicate diseases. We imagine a world that is just, and we make laws and go to court. It is our dream of a better world that determines what we do now. You might think, what's wrong with that? Let's dream dreams and move towards them. But consider for a moment a couple of crucial questions. The first question is, do we ever arrive at the dream, or are we just travelling hopefully? The better world that we have imagined is just something that we have just imagined, made up. But things may never be like that. We may well buy a piano or a musical instrument for our child at Christmas, but they may have no interest in it. And even if there is an initial interest, they may give it up when they get bored of it. A second question is, who is the dream for? Who will get to enjoy it? For some dreams may take generations to succeed. Take the issue of a green world. Even if we were to make a world that was free from pollution and sustainable, by the time we've done that, we won't be there. People speak of preparing a future for others, getting it ready for our children. And whilst they might benefit from our efforts, we won't be there to enjoy it with them. So whilst this approach of dreaming dreams and seeking to move towards them is popular and, at one level, appears inspiring, does it really deliver? Will we ever get there? And even if we do, will we be there to enjoy it? At this point, I'd love to read a few sentences from the Bible. They're taken from the end of the Bible, and they're part of a vision of what the world will one day be like. The text is printed in your service sheets if you'd like to follow, and it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. This vision is written in a style called apocalyptic, which we're not familiar with. It uses lots of symbolism. Yet the essence of what John sees is nothing less than a new creation. I saw, says John, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The first creation that passes away refers to what God made in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made everything. And therefore, he owns everything. Yet humanity declared self-ownership. Humanity decided that they do not belong to God, but themselves. As a consequence, creation fell under God's judgment. Humanity was banished from God's presence and faced death. But God will not let his creation come to ruin. And this vision is a vision of a restored creation. God dwelling with his people, no longer any suffering and death. At this point, you could be thinking, how is that any different from the kind of thing that we've already seen? Isn't that just another dream? Another, I like to think that the world would be like this, albeit a Christian one. But that's not what's going on here. John is not dreaming this up. It is a vision given to him by God. This is God telling John what the world will look like in the future. That is to say that this vision comes as a promise. A promise from God. It's in the next sentence that we're told that the angel who gives the vision assures John that these words are trustworthy and true. But are they? See, the thing about a promise is, who is making the promise? Can they be trusted? Can God be trusted to keep his promise of a new creation? It's interesting that we tend to think that God has yet to keep his promise. But actually, he has already acted to keep it. He sent his son. And if you can put it this way, God has already done the harder part. For he sent his son to die. To die in the place of his people and take the judgment they deserve and bring forgiveness. His resurrection, well, that signals the beginning of the new creation. And so that all that is left to do is for him to return and restore his creation. Do we ever arrive at this hope? Yes. It's not imagined. It's objective. Its basis is found in the return of Jesus. Who is the hope for? It's not just for those who are around when Jesus returns. For when he returns, all will be raised, either to final judgment or life in the new creation as one of his people. Well, the John Lewis advert we began with certainly does make us feel Christmas is here. And as intended, it brings a feeling of hope. But how reliable is the hope that it offers? Well, we all have dreams, but sadly, not all our dreams come true. But the Bible tells us about a hope that is certain and it is available for all to enjoy. It is the hope of a new creation that comes as a promise from God. A promise that he has already acted to keep by sending his son. Well, as I finish, I'd like to tell you about three things that you might be interested in. We are a local church. We want to serve our community. And here are three ways in which we can help you. The first is a course we run called The God Who Makes Himself Known. It's a short course that explains what the Bible is about and will give you the opportunity to understand it for yourself. Then there is a book called Reflection, Made to Be Like Him. It looks at four areas: love, suffering, justice, and science. And the book argues that we can only explain why we hold these things dear because of the Bible and the God of whom it speaks, the God who is Trinity. And finally, there is Trinity Church Bradford itself. I mean, you might be thinking, I never knew that there was a church called Trinity Church Bradford. It's just what I've been looking for. And so, if you'd like to join us at Trinity Church Bradford, we meet every Sunday, 10:30, at the Midland Hotel. There are some term cards available on the tables for you, so you can see what our programme is in the new year. If you'd like the book, well, they're available on the table over by the door. And if you'd like to sign up for the course, then there are some cards on the tables. Please fill one in and put it in the box on your way out. Thanks very much for listening. In a few moments, we're going to sing our next carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.